This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, MSG Networks will have complete pregame coverage 1 hour prior to the start of the Rangers' home opener tonight at 6 p.m. on MSG. Steve Belichick will be joined in studio by host John Giannone and Steve's former teammate and the newest Rangers analyst for MSG Networks, former Rangers goalie and franchise icon Henrik Lundqvist. The puck will drop at the Garden at 7 p.m., Rangers against the Stars. And we welcome in Steve Belichick. Steve, Michael, Don, and Peter, how you doing?
Hey, fellas, great to be on with you. And, Michael, I've seen a lot of those old pictures from your frat days with Fordham and John Giannone. Those are good ones.
Do you know, Steve, that John knows every one of my darkest secrets, but most importantly, I know every one of his. Yeah. Every one of his.
Hey, it's funny, though, Michael. You guys had one guy after another coming from that class. It's amazing. Everybody in the industry in New York is out of Fordham.
Absolutely. We've been lucky. So let's talk about, before we talk about tonight, Steve, let's talk about last night. That's a disappointing performance. Yeah, they were more physical, but the shots on goal after the first, you know, maybe half of a period, they weren't there. What happened with the Rangers last night?
Well, it was really a case of the game getting away from them. And what happens in hockey is you come out with a plan. And when it doesn't work, players oftentimes, they want to freelance. And when they start to freelance, they look disjointed, and the puck starts ending up in their own net more frequently because they start to cheat up the ice. And that's really what happened last night against the Capitals in the 5-1 loss. It was 22 low-danger shots for the Rangers. They only registered 2 scoring chances in the game to Washington's 10. So, by and large, it was a game that didn't go the way the Rangers expected after the first 30 when they were dominating. And there was times there where, and again, I'm watching it at home. The game was on TNT, and I was thrilled with the way they were playing after 30 minutes. But then it got away from them.
Were you surprised that Georgiev got the start, considering he only had 1 win in 6 starts against the Caps?
I think right now, Don, where it is that what you're looking at is the new NHL, and everybody's trying to platoon goalies because the sweet spot is 45-50 games, where it used to be 65-70 for the starting goalie, and it's all about getting through playoffs. And everybody's doing it. It's not just a Rangers thing. I think that if you polled all of the coaches right now around the league, and they're coming back on a back-to-back at home for your home opener against a rested team that's here waiting for you, rather than risk your starter on a first game of the season away and then come back back-to-back with no rest, it's just what the league is doing right now, and we've seen it. And for around 20 years, it was about 20 years, we didn't see a goalie win a Stanley Cup that played over 60 games. And that's why the magic number right now is 45-50.
It's amazing, Steve, because everybody complains about baseball, but every single sport is into analytics. This is an analytic move. Somebody crunched the numbers and said, you know what, these guys are not as effective on back-to-back. The only thing that I would say about that decision yesterday, Steve, isn't there something to be said for playing the first game of the season when you're the starting goalie?
Look, I agree with you, and I see both sides of it. In fact, Anson Carter, who worked with us at MSG for a very long time, he was texting me from the TNT set last night. He's, you know, what do you think? Valley, why is he not playing? He's your guy. You just signed him to a big deal. And I see both sides of the story right now. This is a long view. The Metropolitan Division that the Rangers are in, guys, it's the most competitive division in the league. I think that the mindset was, you know what, if we can steal one in Washington, we're coming back with our guy in against Dallas at home. Shesterkin's one of the top 5 goalies in the league right now. That may surprise some of the listeners, but he's a top 5 goalie in the NHL, and he's going to steal this game tonight. And now you're back to square one, and you start your season. And I don't think that Shesterkin's going to play back-to-backs this year, so why unravel your plan in the first 2 games of this season? I'm pretty sure that was the mindset of the coaching staff.
Valley, my concern, not just about last night, but just moving forward. All right, they're a more physical team. They out-hit the Capitals 27-12. But are they going to be able to get enough production out of the third and fourth line when you play a Hunt and a Gaudreau and you've got that fourth line? Are they too top-heavy, at least here early, to find offense consistently, especially a night like last night where Zibanejad and Panarin were shut down?
Well, if Panarin doesn't get points, the Rangers don't win. I think they won six games last season when Panarin didn't register a point. So we'll start there. And Don, same thing with Zibanejad. He had a rough start. He had three goals in the first 27 games last year, but then he finished hot in March with nine. He had April, he had nine again. So in the tough months, Zibanejad stepped up and Panarin's a player. If Panarin doesn't miss nine games during that, you know, time that he had away to deal with his family, the Rangers got in the playoffs last year. They missed by 11 points, but they have more than enough scoring. That's what I'll just say right there. They have more than enough scoring. My bigger concern, and this is where it could go sideways a little bit this year, is Lafreniere on the first line and Kako on the second line. There's a lot of pressure on those two guys to contribute. They're 20 years old. They're both born in 01. And, you know, you look at these young guys and you just hope they can handle it. They're going to get lots of opportunity. But if they don't score, I think the offense really does hinge on those two guys more than it does the older guys. As far as the depth, I see what you're saying, but look, I love Sammy Blais. I thought he was awesome last night. I thought he was probably their best forward up front. I think Hedl's a sniper. He's going to be their best shooter. I think he's their best pure shooter, in fact. So I think there's guys down in the bottom six that can help you. The main thing right now for the Rangers is that everybody knows their role. I think they're going to score plenty. If anything, Don, the only thing that concerns me is keeping the puck out of their net, not because of the goaltending, but just reducing the amount of scoring chances against, because last year they were the 30th best team off the rush chances against and 27th at 5-on-5 chances against, and that's not going to cut it for the playoffs because the Metro's too tight.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The MSG Network, Steve Valiquette joins us here on the Michael Kay Show. Now, much was made and much was reported, Steve, that at the end of last year in the exit meetings, the players said, well, we need a captain. We didn't have a captain. We want a captain. And then we had on Gallant, when he was first hired, he said, I would bet that there's going to be a captain. And there's not a captain, and there's six alternates. So what went wrong there? Is there not a guy that's worthy of it? Did the players not come to an agreement? Did Gallant not see anybody that's worthy of that C? What's your take on this?
My take is that when you don't have a captain, it sends a message to the group that we don't think you guys are ready for the Stanley Cup yet. Mm-hmm. You're not a contending team. Now, to be a contending team, Michael, I think you've got to be one of the top five, seven best teams in the league. You've got to be very stout defensively. You've got to be able to score. Your special teams have to be strong. You've got to have depth down the middle. The Rangers are one centerman shy of having really good Stanley Cup contending depth, but they've got a Norris Trophy defenseman. I'm telling you right now, if the Rangers get in the playoffs, it's because Shesterkin's a Vezina nominee. They have a lot of pieces. They've got one of the best wingers in the game with Panarin, and they've got a number one centerman in Zibanejad. Now, in saying that, the 1989 Calgary Flames are the last Stanley Cup winning team to win it without a captain. Okay, so it just doesn't happen in this sport. You need a captain, you need leadership. And what's going to happen, I think, is they're just giving this group a little more runway. You're going to wait for Fox to be able to take that over, the same way Brian Leetch did. And I think that Adam Fox is going to be the next captain. And if it's not him, maybe it's because Lafreniere, you know, comes out of the gate this year and surprises everybody and gets 30 goals and, you know, 40 assists and has a bang-out year. And maybe he's the captain. But they're probably waiting for somebody outside of the six alternates to emerge and take the captaincy, and I just don't think the group's there yet because they're not considered a contender. This is a team that's going to push for a playoff spot, but they're not there yet, so I don't see the need to name somebody if it's not a necessity right now.
Are you surprised that Fox isn't wearing an A, though? He's not one of
the six? No, I'm not, because I'm not, because I think that, again, it gives him time to come out of that group and be the C, you know, to come in and be the C, and I think that's, I'm guessing that's the plan. That's the one that makes the most sense to me. I don't think it's anybody in that group, Don. I don't see it. I really do see Adam Fox as being a captain, the same way that, you know, Brian Leetch took that on years ago and wore the C and represented the city the right way.
Oh, now, Steve, this might be an uncomfortable question, but I'm going to go for it. You, throughout your life, have probably been the best-looking guy in the room wherever you've been. And now you sit next to Lundqvist. Is that intimidating?
Well, you know, Jim Nome gets the bronze, right?
Yeah. Oh, a distant bronze.
I'm happy to stand on the podium and get a silver. It's only a few inches down from the gold.
And I know tonight is going to be a big night at the Garden honoring Gilbert. Do you have a story? I mean, because Don and I, we just gush
Michael,
about the guy because he was such a great man.
I have a story for you. So I hope I get the chance to share with this on the air with the folks. But so Rod, what I loved most about him was his sense of humor. And this guy could tell his story better than anybody, right? So he's on the bus with us last year, and we were going to and from Boston playing an alumni game. And he's telling us a story of Emil Francis in the front of the bus. He comes on the bus after a loss and just screaming at the guys. And he says, if I hear one cough on the bus, because he knows that means the guys are opening cans of beer, then I'm going to stop the bus and we're going to run in the dark, right? So everybody's nervous. And Rod's telling me about his teammate, Goyette. His teammate Goyette is a guy that can actually, he claims at least, that he can open a can of beer without making the fist, like without making that noise, right? Mm-hmm. So the guys put the hat together and they say, look, we're happy for you to open our beer, but we want you to do it right by the ear of Emil Francis. So the guys apparently get all the money together in a hat, and he's got $250 in the hat, and he crawls up in the darkness of the bus trip, crawls up, gets right behind Emil Francis's ear and starts slowly opening the can of beer. And he does it right behind his ear without making a noise, crawls back and collects the money. And Rod, the way he told this story, we were dying. And that was Rod Gilbert to me. He would have the room in stitches and commanded the room. And as much as he was loved for everything they did on the ice, this is one of the best human beings I've ever met in my life. And he was so happy to share his stories, and they were vivid, and I'm going to miss him every day.
Good man. Good man. So tonight, obviously, is the first pregame for you guys, and you'll be with Hank and John Giannone. And I will just tell you this, all right? I'll give you a little stuff for John. Just ask John about the Primal Scream night at Fordham. He'll know exactly what you're saying. He'll blush.
Okay, I'll find out. I'll find out.
All right. Thanks, Steve. We appreciate you coming on.
Hey, Mike, great you're doing the Yankees, too, man. I watched it every night. My son's a baseball player. Heartbroken that it didn't work out, but I love watching on the Yankees as well.
Thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate it. Be well. Have a good game tonight.
Take care, guys.
All right. This season, MSG Networks will have exclusive NHL coverage of more than 200 Rangers, Devils, and Islanders games, including 69 regular season Rangers games. Make sure you check your local listings to ensure that your provider carries MSG Networks. Catch Steve Belichick. You just heard from him. And the newest member of the MSG Networks team, Henrik Lundqvist, at 6 p.m. tonight for the hour-long pregame show. The puck drops at 7 p.m. on MSG for the Rangers home opener at the Garden against the Dallas Stars. Good guy.
Good talker, too, and awesome Gilbert story.
But he does drop to the silver medal and looks in that group.
That part's tough.
It's got to be tough.
No. I mean, you're the only one that thinks about things like this.
All the time. Michael never stops thinking about it.
Peter, do you ever walk in any room, anywhere you've ever been, and start rating yourself as where you rank among how good-looking you are?
Honestly, Don, no.
Of course he does. I don't anymore now that I'm married, but when I was single, I wanted to see the possibilities that were out there.
I don't believe you. I think you all, as you've talked about, you know you're dog ugly. And by the way, I love dogs. That's not an insult. But you know your personality has always done you well. So I don't believe actually that you felt that way at all. I think you were a lot more like me, who would walk in a room and think, if I can have a conversation, I'm in the game. Now, there are certain settings, but that's just not going to happen. Like if I'm at a pool party in Miami and all the girls there are like model types, hanging out with dudes wearing sunglasses and their shirts open who are just the world's biggest nozzles, I willingly admit I instantly kneel, Don. I just take the knee. I go, I'm not in this game. Let's just hang out and have fun. Mm. But if I'm at a dinner party where you're with individuals who are capable of having conversation, I'm in the ballgame with anyone. No problem. Let's go.
I think I'm a fat blimp.
No, but you've never done a show where you felt like you were the best looking guy in the room, and then they hire somebody better looking than you, and you're like, oh,
no.
Man, that stinks. I'm not the best looking guy.
No,
in the
that's
room
never.
Anymore.
Well,
that
I do take exception. You think I'm dog ugly?
No, no, I said you think that.
No. But you seem like you were really on board with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you sounded like you owned it.
What was the line he said yesterday about himself? We have multiple drops of him referring to himself as being ugly.
Well, I can say it about myself. Yeah. You can't say it about me.
I apologize then. I don't think your dog ugly, like I said, and I think some dogs are beautiful. I don't think your dog handsome either. You're not Bear.
I'm better looking than you, though.
No.
Are you Rocky? Is he Rocky?
No, he's not. Rocky's a gorgeous Maltese.
I'm an ugly guy.
You said that yesterday, Michael. Yesterday.
Don, do you like the Rangers jersey I put on?
I did notice that. You got a Shattenkirk jersey.
That's right, my friend.
He scored last night for the Ducks. Got the first goal of the season for Anaheim.
Number 22. Like that guy. Good guy.
Shat deuces.
I still want to replace Kirk with pants and buy that jersey for Don.
Shat and pants? And it would still be the same number. 1-800-919-3776. Let's hear from you. We've done a lot of talking today.
Yes.
Want to hear from you because you're one of the hosts of the show.
Sure.
It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you on Yes.
Hello?
98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.